Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742, and that number good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the Word of God, the Bible that we hold in our hands, and lots of powerful passages in the Word of God that talk about what the Word of God actually is, that it's God-breathed, that comes from God the Father himself. It's breathed out through the Spirit. It's inspired. It teaches us. It equips us to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ. It makes us wise unto salvation. And I love this description of it in Hebrews chapter 4. Many folks have probably memorized this verse, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active. I think those two descriptors are very appropriate. It's living. This isn't a dead word. This is a living word. But when we come to it through dead works, you know, what kind of dead works can we produce? It's just dead for us. But when we see it as the story of Jesus, it really comes to life. Yeah. It becomes the living word, and it's active. It has power. It does something inside of us. You know, there's so many skeptics out there that just deny the Word of God, think it's just a silly book, that it's foolish. And then you ask them, have you ever read it? And it's like, well, no. Well, how did you come to your conclusions? And if you open up the Bible and start reading it to them, then you're going to see some activity. You're going to see the Word of God that's sharp and living and active start to do its work in that person's life. So the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I think that right there is why a lot of people don't want to read the Word of God.
Yeah. It gets personal in a hurry.
Yeah, they don't want the intentions of their hearts to be brought into the light. So they just leave this book on the shelf. But that's what the Word of God does. That's its power. But today we want to talk about this verse in light of its context. And I think in light of its context, it's really going to have much more meaning to us. So the writer of Hebrews is talking about a Sabbath rest. He's saying that the people of Israel who initially came out of Egypt, that first generation, all died in the desert. They never entered into God's Sabbath rest. Why? Because they refused to couple the message with faith. They refused to believe what God said was true, that this land is a land flowing with milk and honey, that every need is already provided. But when the report came back from the spies that it's a land filled with giants and danger and all sorts of things, they refused to go in. Now, there's a lot more to that story, a lot of other factors that they considered, that they looked at, that caused them to just wander in the desert. But underneath it all, they refused to combine the message, God's message, with faith. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying to us, don't be like them. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's the message in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 4. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So therefore, let us strive or be diligent or earnest or eager to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So here's the Word of God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. today there is the promise of a Sabbath rest that is available to you. Therefore, be eager, be diligent to enter in. Now, the Word of God is going to pierce your heart to either move you forward to enter into that rest, or is going to reveal the intentions to say, no, I want to keep doing my own thing. I've heard the message, but I don't want to combine it with faith. That's what this passage is all about. That's why the writer of Hebrews put this particular verse in this particular context. What is God's desire for each and every human being? To be saved, to come to the knowledge of truth, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, to be made alive, to receive forgiveness, and all of that to enter into God's rest, to rest from your works, just as God and Christ rested from theirs. That's God's purpose. That's God's destination. That's where he wants each and every one of us to be, in that Sabbath rest. Now, we're either going to hear the voice of God and diligently enter in, or we're going to remain outside striving and doing our own works in order to gain righteousness through our human efforts. And that is not the place of rest that God wants us. And the Word of God will judge where we are. And if you find yourself on the outside, not experience the rest that God has promised, well, you've heard the voice.
Yes.
You've heard the message.
Come now.
Right now. And that's the imperative. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until next year. Right now, let this process of entering into God's rest begin right now, at this very moment. And the Word of God will be the action, the impetus, the nudge to move you in that direction.
Yeah, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We'd love for you to join the conversation right now. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, if you're struggling with your version of the Christian life, trying to figure out why it's not working out the way you'd hoped it would, you're not alone. In his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob Christopher explains that he experienced much the same in his early years and his early years as a Christian. Order your copy today and find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Click the order link at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net for your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Once again, want to give the phone number, 844-322-2742. We want you to come in and join the conversation as we wait for phone calls. Guys, this question from Bob, who wrote to us with a very, very interesting question, if my computer will come along. Okay, he says, I'm reading Luke, and it was wearing me out. It's heavy, thick, and not full of much grace. I just finished Luke 18, and even the disciples, after he turned the rich young ruler away, asked Jesus, then who can be saved? I ask myself, where is grace in this? I know only God can judge the heart, but I don't see the compassion for the seeker. Jesus' message before the new covenant seemed harsh and impossible to follow. But is that the point?
Well, that's part of the point. I mean, we need to know that we need to be saved. If I think I'm okay, and that was the problem with the rich young ruler, he thought he was okay. And Jesus was pointing out that he had a dependency that is going to march him straight down into the pits of hell. And so he was doing in his way, as God the Father told him to do, was pointing out the real heart problem that this person had. And the disciples saw that, and they came back with the question, well, then how can we be saved?
Now, if the rich can't.
Right.
How in the world are we
right.
ever going
to make
it?
And that's the point. That's where Jesus wants to drive all of us. How then can we be saved if it's not through good works, if it's not through going to church, if it's not through reading the Bible, if it's not through doing good deeds, then how in the world can we be saved? And that's where Jesus wanted to leave every single one of us to that very question. Because when we ask that question, then our hearts are ready to receive the answer. And the answer that comes from God through Jesus Christ, that's made real and known to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And what is that answer? That Jesus himself is the Savior, that he died to take away our sins, that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised from the dead, and then 40 days later ascended into heaven. That's the story, and it's through that story that we are saved. So how can we be saved? Well, someone else had to do something on our behalf, something that we could not do for ourselves, that would save us and give us new life in Christ. So the rich, everybody would look at the rich and say, wow, they have all the advantages, all the benefits, and that should be able to buy their way into heaven. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. So it's interesting. One of the things that Jesus says is that in Luke 19:10, it's this, that he came, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So everything that Jesus says or does in this Gospel of Luke is through that prism, through that premise. So whatever miracle he did, whatever teaching that he provided, whatever conversations and words that he had with individuals, it was all with this in mind. He wanted to save that rich young ruler. But the rich young ruler's heart was so enmeshed in the things of this world that he was not willing to let go of that worldly identity to gain new life in Jesus Christ. Now, that's sad.
It is.
That is sad. And the reality of that is very harsh. And it should move our hearts to communicate with even more passion the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Richard?
I love how Jesus properly used the law here. And he sets this guy up on purpose so he can expose something. He talks about things like adultery and murder, stealing, false witness, and honoring your father and mother. And the guy says, well, I've done all of those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm ready to walk into heaven right now. And then he asks him the question about idolatry. And that's where he fell down.
Yes.
And that is the proper use of the law. The law shows us that we, in our own abilities, our own strength, our own talents, and the rest of it, fall short every time. It's Jesus or nothing, and Jesus proved it right there.
Yes,
reminds
indeed.
Me of a New York politician who just not too long ago proclaimed that he was ready to walk into heaven. There was not going to be any competition. There's not going to be any judgment. He was just going to walk right in because of all the good deeds he had done. I think there's a different plan for that.
That's exactly right. And here's the deal. I mean, and this is what we really need to understand. And we have a YouTube video coming out tomorrow on this very subject. What is salvation? Mm-hmm. What is our need? What, when God saves us, what happens to us? Well, we're dead spiritually. That's the problem. The wages of sin is death. When Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually, and they passed on that condition to every single one of us. So we come into this world spiritually dead. Jesus came that we might have life, and that's the deal, and that's what Jesus wanted everybody to understand. It's not just sins. It's not just doing the right things. It's the underlying condition of death, that you are separated from the life of God. And there's no good deed. There is no act of morality that is going to change that condition. Only the one who has life can make us alive together with him. And that's why salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Indeed it is. And friends, we have a very special gift for you that's coming back. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. And it's called It's All Yours. It's a 14 CD series that really, really deep, dives deep. Bob, explain to our listeners what they can expect from this series.
Well, the book of Hebrews is one of our favorite books, and it's a book that is often neglected. It's not often taught through or preached through from pulpits, but it is really the culmination of the entire Word of God. It contains the whole counsel of God condensed into these 13 chapters. It really lifts Jesus up to a place of glory that is just amazing and awesome and magnificent. And it really parses out his work in such a way that we understand and can really fully comprehend exactly what Jesus has accomplished for us. And it lifts up this new covenant. It says Jesus ushered this covenant in upon his death, and it's this covenant that we live in. And this new covenant contains every aspect of the Christian life that we will ever experience. So it lifts up Jesus. It tells us how we can know him and how we can experience the fullness of his life through this new covenant that we live under today.
It's all yours. Request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. In Canada, of course, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate through the Basic Gospel app and PayPal. We'd love for you to partner with us in this message of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia, and talk to Paul, listening to us on our great affiliate, WDWD. Hi, Paul.
Yes, hi, sir. I know you kind of went ahead, but I wanted to get back to where you were talking about the day of rest. I was hoping that you would elaborate on that a little bit more. What does that mean, to enter into that rest?
Okay, it's a great question, and it's one that we love to answer, and it's a subject matter that we love to talk about. And to really talk about it well, we need to go back to the very beginning. So creation happened in 6 days. On the seventh day, God rested. And so we were created on the sixth day. And when that day turned to the seventh day, then we were to enjoy our relationship with God from a place of rest. There was no work that he was requiring of us. There was nothing that he was asking of us. He just simply wanted us to enjoy that relationship with him from a place of rest. And so everything about the Christian life, everything about our relationship with God, was to start from this place of rest. Well, chapter 3 of Genesis happens, and we see Adam and Eve partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and rest that we had with God became restlessness. And so since that time, every person that's ever lived on earth has tried to calm the restlessness of their heart through all kinds of ways. And they may have tried money, they may have tried vacations, they may have tried sex, they may have tried drugs. They were just looking for some sense of peace, but sin kept those waters of the heart churning, restless, and until a person comes to Christ. And when they come to Christ, they find their rest in him. And that's the Sabbath rest that God is talking about in Hebrews chapter 4. Now, he gave a shadow of that, a picture of that, in the Ten Commandments with that fourth commandment. He said that you're to keep the Sabbath day holy. Well, that was a picture pointing us forward to the Sabbath rest that we could experience through faith in Jesus Christ. So what God wants to do is to bring us all to that place of rest in him so that we can truly enjoy a relationship with him. Well, to get there, we have to rest from our dead works of trying to earn righteousness, love, and acceptance. We have to rest from those and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. When you finally come to the realization that there is nothing you need to do and nothing you could have done anyway to get God's approval. I mean, he starts at the moment of salvation by declaring us to be righteous by calling us his children, by giving us everything we need for life and godliness. When you take that to heart and you literally rest in that, you may be the busiest you've ever been in terms of physical activity, but from a spiritual point of view, you are done. You are planted. All you have to do is stay there with Jesus, and he will lead you every step of the way. And as beautiful a picture as God gave us in the Ten Commandments with the fourth commandment, it pales into insignificant when you realize that we have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week reality. It's not just one day where we go, oh, okay, I don't have to work anymore. That's not it at all. That day was supposed to be a party. And now we get to have this 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week party with Jesus. Yeah. And again, we may be busier than we've ever been in our lives, but fundamentally, we don't have to prove anything anymore. We never had to prove anything in the first place. It's coming to that belief instead of unbelief. And that's why Joshua didn't take them into the rest, because even though they went into the promised land, they still didn't really believe.
Yeah, that was still a picture of what we were going to experience in Christ. So our destination is this Sabbath rest in Jesus, and that's not a place that we can point to on a map. That has nothing to do with geography. It has everything to do with a state of mind, a state of the heart, and it's a perpetual thing, eternal thing. That seventh day, it didn't have a beginning or end like the first six, if you read the story in Genesis. And so it's saying that this rest is supposed to be our eternal state, that everything about our relationship with Jesus Christ flows out of this Sabbath rest that we experience with him.
Yeah. Rob in New York would like to know about people dying and going to heaven only to return to tell a story of heaven's wonders. He goes on to say the Bible is very clear on what to expect if we receive or reject Christ. What awaits God's children will be rich indeed, will be great indeed. So why would God need to further describe what the Bible says? And why, if this were a real scenario, would anyone capitalize on such an event with books and movies?
Well, God doesn't need to further describe what we're going to have, but we have a need to get greater description of it. I mean, we really want to know what do you do? What do you do when you wake up? What do you do when you go to bed? What is it going to be like? And so if somebody could just go there and find out and then come back and tell us, that would be awesome. Well, we had somebody that came from heaven. His name was Jesus Christ, and he's told us everything that we need to know. And it's interesting, some of these books that have been written about folks going to heaven and that sort of thing, they've just been fabricated. And the authors have later come out and said, this is just a totally made-up story. And they did it to capitalize, to gain a profit, because they knew there's great intrigue out there that we want to know what heaven is really like. Well, I think what the Bible tells us is we really need to know what Jesus is all about, because it's not a place that is going to be all-consuming for us. It's going to be a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. When we're absent with the body, we are present with him.
Great response, Bob. Thank you, and thanks to you and Richard for these rich answers that you give every day on Basic Gospel. And friends, a quick reminder that as you make your January gift to support Basic Gospel, we have something special for you. It's the CD series, It's All Yours, and it's our gift back to you for supporting this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To make your gift, click Donate at BasicGospel.net. You can also use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can donate through BasicGospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, friends, that our listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We put it in place to serve you, our listeners. Hope you'll take advantage of it. Short of that, you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.